Acts chapter 15. We do this background study so that you can see the marvel that Galatians is. It is a marvelous book. You know, God does things differently than men, and I'm so glad of that. David said, I'd rather fall into the hands of men. I mean, fall into the hands of God than men. Men are cruel. God is filled with mercy. He's rich in mercy. You're a testimony to that mercy if you're here and you've trusted in Jesus. You know, God has a way of doing things. Paul said that He takes the wisdom of men and makes it foolish because it gives Him great glory. You want to know the wisdom of God? You know, look at the big picture here that we've been studying. We can look at all the details of Acts you want and all the details of Galatians, but here is God. He has a rich, rich way of making men look like idiots for His glory. Why? Here is what He did. He took a Messiah that the Jews didn't want. They wanted someone that was like Absalom, muscles, filled with power, a warrior. He presented them a Messiah that came riding on a donkey, gentle and lowly. And He transformed the world through Jesus Christ. And He will bring in Jesus' kingdom. And He will transform this world through a Messiah that the Jews rejected. God does things so amazing. You know why? God wants the glory. If God marched in a Messiah and was filled with chariots and horses, guess what? Man would get the glory. God wants the glory. And in Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was hung upon the cross and put to shame, He'll restore His kingdom. And then look at Paul. He took a jihadist. Yeah, I use that term. I get people upset with me for that. There is no difference. Religious hatred is religious hatred, no matter if it's Jew, Arab, or whatever. They're all nuts until they're born again. He took a hateful man, killing people, a zealot for Mosaic law, a hater of Jesus. He'd be the last person you would choose. That's why I love the Lord. You know what? If you think there's someone that can't be saved, you think of Paul. If you think someone out there that you feel can't be under the converting power of God, then you don't know God, because God took Paul, the most vile chief of sinners, a religious nut, murderer. By the way, Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. God delights in taking people that man considers to be scum and delights in bringing glory to Himself. Got to think God's way. That's what we're learning here. Here is what the book of Acts has showed us. Paul starts out as someone who's murdering, doing all sorts of horrible things, being a terrorist. By the way, someone's terrorist, another person's freedom fighter. I'm sure the British would have painted George Washington the same way. All depends on who writes the history. But what do you think, if the British would have won, how George Washington would have been portrayed? Who was crushed by the British crown. But God delights in taking people that men think would be the last. Paul would have been the last choice, and God humiliated the Jews. You know how He humiliated them? He chose someone that was more zealous than anybody in Judaism at the time for Judaism. And in Acts 15, you know what the problem they're dealing with? Because of Paul's ministry, so many Gentiles have been saved that the Jews don't know what to do with it. Acts 11. They're still staying around Jerusalem. Why? Because they thought salvation was for the Jews. God said, no, I love everybody. And He's got so many Gentiles believing, they don't know what to do with it. God took the hater and transformed. That's the power of God. Don't ever look at someone and say, God could never use that person. They're too vile. God delights in doing this. Because He wants the glory. And that's what we're dealing with in Acts 15. Imagine the man that stands there in the black outfit. They just beheaded another one yesterday. They frighten me. Yeah, they do. I'm a chicken. But I know one thing, Lord, if you can save him, you can make him the most fervent advocate of Jesus Christ in the Arab world that there could ever be. Do you think if God can save Paul, do you think his hand cannot save any of these people with the knife? Pray for them that God saved them. Because God can do it. Paul is the example of this. And if God can save Paul, he can save any one of us. It's his power, not ours. That's what we're dealing with in Acts 15. The marvelous grace that he transformed Paul so that there, Mike and back, so many Gentiles believing in Jesus, they got to have a sit down. What do we do with them? These dirty, stinking Gentiles that we thought would be fodder for hell. God said, no, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Marvelous testimony of God's grace. So they have to sit down with Paul. What do we do with these Gentiles? This meeting, in many senses, is impacting why we're here today. This meeting that the church sat down with, a Jewish church sat down and said, what do we do? There are more Gentiles believing in Jesus than any Jews. Well, they wanted a Messiah, you know. They wanted a Messiah and still do, that marches in, puts in the kingdom. They don't want a humble Messiah that comes in on a donkey. But one day he'll return glorious. So they sit down. And some men came down from Judea. By the way, Paul writes Galatians just before this sit down. And they began teaching the brethren, get under the law. You must be circumcised according to Moses. What were they doing? You're going to become like us Jews. You want the Jewish Messiah, you bunch of dirty, stinking goys? Then you have to become Jewish. That's not what God had in mind. Jesus Christ came to free us. The law was the tutor to teach us about sin. It is just, holy, and good. But when Jesus Christ came, righteousness comes through trust in Him. And they've got to decide this. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension, by the way, verse 2 means, you know what that means? That means that the early church had a real brawl. Man, I'll bet you that I would have loved recordings of that meeting. I would have loved to hear what they said. I don't know. I think there was some righteous indignation among people. And certain other them should go up to Jerusalem and discuss this. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they came up, describing in detail the conversion of the... That's you, unless you're Jewish. The only guy that I know is Jewish is Earl in here. Isn't that interesting? God's mercy? For the Jewish people, they wanted the kingdom of all Jews, enslave the Gentiles, or kill them. And God said, no, I came to seek and to save all who were lost, and you're here. Because of God's great love. Don't ever look at any of these people that you think God can't come. You can't do. God can save them. You will never convince them. If anybody's here, I cannot convert you and I'm not trying to. Only the power of God can convert somebody. I'll never argue into the kingdom. It's God's Spirit that must move. So you can relax at this church. It'd be God's Spirit. Who's the only one that could convince Paul? Bang! Light! Hey, Paul, stop what you're doing. And when they had arrived at Jerusalem at the headquarters, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done. And they were rejoicing. This is Jewish people rejoicing for what? Now, that would be like us rejoicing that Arabs were receiving the gospel and being saved from jihad. Come on now. We're trained by the news media to hate. Christians cannot hate. I know they frighten me. Don't they frighten you? We have to think differently, that if God could save. You say, well, Dave, nobody. Come on, those people are too far gone. Don't you cut short the power of God. If He wants to, He can. And by the way, you apply that same logic, we should have all been nuked by God. But certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees. Guess who the Pharisees are? The word Pharisee comes from the Hebrew word meaning separated ones. Ooh, isn't that special? These are the people that were the real legalists, fundamentalists. How will I get you mad at me? But it's true. Had all the law. I always find those people interesting that like to throw the book of the law at everybody. They want Gentiles to be kosher, which involves circumcision and keep Moses. You know from the book of Hebrews, what did Christ do? He said on that night in which He was betrayed, this is the what covenant? You're under the new covenant. See, they're trying to put back the old covenant. And Paul said this morning, if you try to be justified before God under the Mosaic law, it'll never happen. Why? Because the Mosaic law was to do what? Show us a sinner. Show that we're sinners. It worked! You're under God's grace. That doesn't mean that you go live like hell, but it does mean that the law that we're under, by the way, do you know the law that we're under? We are under a law. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what Paul's attitude was after God converted him. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. For though I am free from all, Christ set us free by enslaving us to God. I have made myself a slave to all. That means this. When you're around people that don't know Jesus, you be gentle. They don't understand. How dare you expect the world to live by standards that even Christians don't live by a lot of times? And to the Jews, I became as a Jew. Guess what Paul did under the Jews? He'd keep kosher. Because why? He didn't want to insult people. But he knew that didn't save him. That I might win them. Hey, do you live a life to where your desire is to win people to Christ? I'll tell you something, I got to be honest with you. Get mad at me. But I've seen a lot of Christians that if I said that is Christianity, I sure wouldn't want to be a Christian. Now that's just to be honest. I'm ashamed. I see so many wanting to throw the law at everybody. So many being so legalistic. So they're religious nuts. Get mad at me. Go ahead. You got to get in line, though. There's a huge line that I'm building. And don't get out of line because it'll make somebody mad. To the Jew, I became like a Jew that I might win them. Have you ever thought about that? Next time you see a sinner, think, I need to win them. Don't be like some of these Christians that, to me, they're toxic people. And I want to tell people, if you don't know the Lord, there are many people that claim to know Jesus and they don't. Jesus said, many shall say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? And He says, I never knew you. So that doesn't mean because you profess to be a Christian that you truly are. By the way, the goal of a preacher is not to point to the preacher, but to point to Christ. You know how you can tell? Are they Christ-like? Because look what he says here. As under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those. Look at the people that do not know the Lord and say, I want to win them. And Paul would put himself back under the law because he loved the Jewish people. He didn't want to offend. But to those who were without the law, it's without the law. So he'd sit down and have a ham sandwich. Peter wouldn't. Remember that? Paul did what? Told him, you get merciful with these Gentiles. They don't know. And we don't have to follow those old laws anymore. Though not being without the law of God, as under the law of Christ. You know what the law of Christ is? You know what you're under? You're under the law of Christ. You know what that is? You know who Jesus got along with? You know who he was a friend with? Guess who he didn't get along with? That tells you a whole lot. Jesus told a story. A Pharisee walked up to the altar. You got to understand, religious worship in Israel was very much displayed. They broadened their phylacteries, these Pharisees, and they walked around letting everybody know. They carried their Bible. Right here, man. And he says, at the temple, this Pharisee, all decked out, had his tie on and his suit. Don't get me going about that one. And he says, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like that miserable sinner. Now, that was another Jewish guy he was pointing at. This guy didn't keep kosher. He was a sinner. He ate ham. He probably did a whole bunch of stuff. And he says, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like that sinner over there. I tithe twice a week, and I do this, and I'm so good, no wonder you chose me. Then the worst person in Israel, Jesus said, came up next. You know who the worst person in Israel was? It wasn't the prostitute, the sexually impure. You know who it was in Israel? Tax gatherer. You know why? Because the Jews didn't want to give their money to Gentiles. Especially Rome. And so, this poor guy that's a tax collector, he's the bottom of the pit in the eyes of Israel. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy to come near your altar. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You know who Jesus said went away declared righteous before the Father? The worst sinner in Israel. And you know who went away that was not declared righteous in God's eyes? The fundamentalist Pharisee legalist. Boy, that tells you a lot about how Jesus thinks. He saw a widow. She gave just a little bit, all that she had, Jesus said. And you know what Jesus said? That little widow that gave what is almost nothing in the eyes of men gave more than anybody else. You see, Jesus looks at it. You've got to think Jesus' way. We're not thinking Jesus' way. We're under the law of Christ, the law of love. And love does what? Covers what? You see, that's what the disciples learned from Jesus. Peter said that. You know why Peter said that? Because if there was anyone that did something that should never, he should have been disqualified completely, it's Peter. He publicly, at the worst time, he denied Jesus and cursed him. Not the cursing and swearing, but just the idea of the way he denied him. Jesus said, if you deny me before me, and guess what Jesus, I love Jesus' way he said to Peter after his resurrection, hey Peter, come here. He says, since you denied me, you're out of ministry. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you, but Peter said, I don't love you like I should have. What was on Peter's mind? His denial. Jesus said again, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you, but not, I failed you miserably. You know what Jesus kept saying to him after Peter kept doing that? Feed my sheep. Boy, that shows you the heart of Jesus. Not the heart of men. No wonder David said, I'll fall into the hands of God anytime and not the hands of men. The law of Christ, the law of love, that we might win those without law. That's what Paul is discovering. So they're going to have a sit down. Going back to Galatians. I mean Acts 15. Don't get what I say, get what I mean. Direct
them to the law of Moses. Get them under the law. We were miserable under the law. They need to be miserable.
I think that's what might be in the mind of some people. I've been a miserable Christian, so I want you to be as miserable as I am. Man, if you can't be happy being a Christian, when can you be happy, huh? It's not easy in the Christian life. I know that. And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And after there had been much debate, by the way, that's Luke's way of saying, boy, they really got into a fight. Peter stood up. Oh, isn't that the guy that denied the Lord? Didn't Jesus say, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you? Guess what there's in God that many men don't have? Forgiveness. Restoration. Boy, that honored Peter the rest of his life. He said, humble yourself under the almighty hand of God that he will exalt you. You know why I said that? Because on the night in which Jesus betrayed, he was braggadocio. Lord, these bunch of other 11 guys are chickens, but Lord, I'll stand there with you. I got a sword here. I'm armed and dangerous, Lord. Peter. Before the rooster will crow in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter, don't brag. And he did. And that's why he said, you know, we need to all humble ourselves. That's when you see a sinner. You know what you say? Lord, if you save me. This is what you should do as a Christian. You see somebody you think is a sinner, say this. Lord, if you save me and I'm worse than any. Paul was the chief of sinners. Why don't Christians have that attitude of letting, we're the chief of sinners? Which do you think gives God greater glory? Saving people that are goody-two-shoes or saving the chief of sinners? That's what we are. So you can say to somebody, well, hey, if God forgave me, there's no problem with forgiving you because I'm the worst. And that's me. Me. Dave.
Peter gets up. Brethren! You know, in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth, the Gentiles will hear the gospel. You know what I love about that? There's a Jewish man glorifying God for saving dirty, stinking Gentiles.
Now, that's what they call racial prejudice, isn't it? Isn't that in the church?
And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Spirit, just as He also did to us. Who is us? The Jews. He showed no discrimination. Why? You know, in the Old Covenant, God did prepare the Jewish people to bring in the Messiah and the New Covenant. But listen to me, you're under the New Covenant, and that means this, you're joint heirs and equal with Jesus Christ. God included you fully and equally with His people of the Old Covenant. And He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their heart by faith.
You know what Peter's saying? This is marvelous. I mean, Peter is shocked.
I want to remind you, when the Jews sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, everybody, we're going to have an Easter program. We'll have Hosanna, Hosanna. But what the Jews were crying was, Lord, kill the Gentiles, install your kingdom, and we'll enslave the rest that may be left after you're finished with them. That's what they meant.
But God loves. And God delights in showing mercy. You know it says that in the Old Testament? I am a God who delights in showing mercy. Don't you want to delight in what God delights in? It's a wondrous thing to show mercy to people, because the more mercy you show to others, the more mercy will be shown to you, because Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Jesus also said this, by the same standard of judgment you judge others, you will be... Ooh!
You bet. You bet. Would you like your yardstick applied against you? Come on.
That's why my standards, the Lord understands what I'm about to say, my standards are very merciful and very low, because I'll need all the mercy I can get.
Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?
That's what I love about these Pharisees. They were wanting to put a yoke. What hypocrisy. They didn't keep the law, but they thought they had. A lot of Christians get convinced we're so perfect. No, we're not. Pharisees got convinced they're so perfect and they were keepers of the law, and they were going to put people under what they themselves couldn't even keep. That is the first reason. Number one, none of us could keep this law. Why? What was the purpose of law? To show us we're sinners. What God wants us to admit is, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's hard for men. Men want to be told today what? There is no right or wrong. Anything I do is okay. Well, Christians are that way too. Can I be honest with you sometimes? But the law was to show us there's no way we can measure up. Can't do it. It was a teacher, a tutor to teach us, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me.
We've not been able to bear it, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they.
You know what's in Peter's mind? What's he repeated twice? God gave them equal salvation, no discrimination. Can you imagine that? Yes, under the old covenant, God was preparing a people to bring in the Messiah. But once the Messiah came, God places all men in Christ and gives them equal. Can you imagine? Do you know what breaks up families more than anything else? You know what it is? Money. Have you ever been in a situation where in your family someone got more from the inheritance than somebody else? What happens to families where that occurs? Man, you want to know what will split families? Blood is thicker than water, not when it comes to money. What if God had said, okay, the Jews get 80 and I'll give those dirty, stinking Gentiles 20? He didn't. He made us equal in His great mercy through Jesus Christ.
And the multitude in verse 12 kept silent.
You know why they were silent? Because they couldn't argue against Peter. God's convicting power through His Spirit was even convicting the Pharisees at this point. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 2 to the Jews? You who say you should not steal, do you steal? Do you know what's in the Talmud? The Babylonian Talmud, which I am a student of. Do the research. Stealing is okay if you steal from Gentiles. They're not God's chosen people. We are. Just don't steal from a fellow Jew. That's why Paul said in Romans 2, you who say you do not steal, do you steal? See, the Old Testament said this, thou shalt not what? He didn't say, because you're the chosen people, you got a free pass, just don't steal from each other. But that's what they told each other. That's called, you have heard, you know, Jesus got into this. You have heard that it was said, you love your neighbor but hate your enemy. Do you know what they were teaching? The word said in Leviticus 19:16 or 6, love your neighbor as yourself. But that never came across in Israel because the Pharisees added, and this is what they said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy and kill him. All the Bible said was, love your neighbor. That's why John said, remember when we were in John, this is an old command and a new command. It's an old command that you were to love. But you see, the Pharisees, Just like a lot of Christians today do a lot of adding to God's Word, don't they? Some of you have grown up in denominations where they did a lot of adding to God's Word. When I was a kid, no movies. No dancing. Well, I know dance halls aren't very good and sometimes the movies aren't very good, but it didn't say that. And so people think if they don't dance and don't go to a movie, guess what? They're righteous. Well, you aren't righteous because you haven't done something. Do you have another rule maybe in your denominational background? And by the way, we're from all denominational backgrounds. Maybe you didn't experience this. Well, thank God you didn't. Because that raises up, just like the Pharisees, self-righteous people. And listen to me, but for the grace of God, we are the chief of sinners. As a matter of fact, I can prove to you from Scripture that God has chosen you and me because we're the worst. 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 2:14. God has not chosen the wise things of this world. He has chosen the foolish, the base things of this world. So guess what? When I see someone, you see that jihadist, you know what you better say? Well, Lord, he's better than I am because you chose me and I'm the base. You chose the worst to get the glory. See, Christians don't think that way. We think Pharisaical. And it isn't pleasing to God. That's why they were quiet, in my opinion. The convicting power of God, by the way, God told the Jews that. I didn't choose you because you were the best people. They were stiff-necked. And God had a love for the world. For God so loved the world. Do you realize that's a Jewish man saying that? That's the Son of Thunder when he saw the Samaritans wanted to call fire down from heaven. Do you remember that? He saw a bunch of half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile. Lord, let's nuke them! Jesus said, that's a good idea. There is the man, John, that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. For God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. What happens to Christians that they don't think Jesus' way? That's a Jewish man. That's a Jewish Son of Thunder that wanted to kill people, that is now saying, and by the way, he spent the last 30 years of his life ministering to Gentiles because he loved. You know what's hard for me to do sometimes, though? Let me confess a sin. When I see the guys with the knives, it's hard for me to love them. But you see, we get caught up in current events on the news media. And we don't think like Christians. To see people is in need of God's forgiveness and His love. And that's why they were silent. And the multitude kept silent. You know why? They knew Peter was right. And Paul was right. And that God offered salvation to all who would trust him.